Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing well. We had a marathon meeting yesterday, so I think all my council colleagues and I are a little bit tired, but it was good to deal with things that I think people have been waiting for us to deal with.
For sure. And that meeting was entirely focused on April's flood, which as of today was named the third biggest weather story in Canada from Environment Canada. So we'll have more information about that later. But the big part coming from yesterday's meeting was decisions made on three of the six flood prone areas, that being Waterways, Draper, and we're going to start with Tarbigan Court, as you guys approved offering voluntary buyouts for the 69 impacted properties in the neighborhood. Maybe just to start off with, why administration was recommending buyouts for Tarmigan?
Yeah, it's, the main reason is because it could not be flood protected in a reasonable way. So there was no flood mitigation option for that area. And buyouts were seen as the only reasonable option by my council colleagues. I didn't support buyouts in any area last night, but I go with the majority decision, and the majority went with buyouts. So that's the path forward. It's going to be a little bit of time before it all gets sorted out, but we've got a target date of May 31st. So, you know, they're going to be moving forward with that issue. And then for those that can't do buyouts, obviously there's going to be the option to potentially raise properties, because I believe some people, it came up last night, clearly there's going to be some people who would not be able to pay off their mortgage with a buyout. So, and that's the assessed value would be the buyout amount. So it's, you know, it's a challenging decision. One thing I want to mention, it came up a lot last night, and after a flood in Alberta, we asked the legal services team if there's ever been a buyout of properties by a municipality in Alberta, and they came back and said that it's always been funded by the government of Alberta, and the government of Alberta has not come forward in this situation suggesting a buyout of any of the properties. So we're going to be, you know, moving forward with that, but that's personally why I was personally against it, but my colleagues supported it, and I you know, we go with a majority decision. That's democracy, and I'm just pleased that we're moving forward on these issues and making decisions.
So this is going to be the first municipal buyout for flood impacted residents in Alberta. So
you know, that's the feedback we got from legal services. That's based on their research.
I'm assuming that you guys have been talking with the province. Like you mentioned, you just haven't heard back. Have they given, since you haven't heard back, you haven't gotten a reason, but is there anything that's crossing your mind as to why maybe they haven't gone back? Obviously, everyone knows that they're dealing with the pandemic, and that's obviously top of mind. But as you mentioned yesterday, you know, this is still pretty important.
Yeah, they're in a challenging financial position, obviously, and I think the times have changed. When Mike Allen and I were part of the government, that was the government back then that did buyouts in different parts of Alberta after floods. And the circumstances have entirely changed. What I encourage residents to do who really believe in buyouts is to talk to your MLAs. You know, our municipality is in a very difficult situation as well. You know, we're in a good financial position, but we can't buy everybody out that I think has that desire. But what we are doing is we're offering flood protection. So we are, you know, the other areas, not Tarmigan, but the other areas, we are raising the flood protection levels in this region. So it's going to be better flood protection than this region has ever had. So we're moving in that direction.
You were quite vocal yesterday at the meeting when it came to talking about getting, you know, financial support for this from the province. Is it safe to say that you're frustrated with the lack of response to the buyouts? I know you mentioned that they did offer the $100 million, DRP funding, but when it comes to buyouts, it sounds like you're a little frustrated.
Yeah, the one thing I want everyone to understand is the province announced $100 million for DRP, but we have gotten literally hundreds and hundreds of emails from people who are frustrated with the process, who are not getting answers, or who are getting very little in DRP funding. And DRP, just so everybody understands it, that's the program that puts you back after a flood, does not restore you to your original position. It puts you back to a functional position. So you're not getting the kitchen that was lost to the flood, you are getting a functional kitchen. So it's, and that goes for the rest of your property. So it puts you in a very difficult position. You always will be in a more difficult position after getting DRP funding. And in our situation, what we're seeing is our residents are not getting funded as we had even hoped. They're not even getting back to that functional position because people are not getting, in some cases, they're not getting very much or anything. So we have good reason to complain. As far as the buyouts are concerned, we're being treated very differently than other parts of Alberta have been historically. And is it fair to the residents? It's completely unfair. You know, the disaster recovery program is there for a reason. It's to support residents in exactly these situations. And the buyouts that were done historically recognized that there was certain challenging areas. And, you know, if the province does the flood mapping and sees that those challenges continue, then they should be supporting our residents. The other thing that they haven't contributed to is the flood mitigation. It's been very, very little has been contributed. And we're building berms, we're trying to protect this community, and we're not seeing the support from the province or the federal government, quite frankly, that I really believe we should be seeing.
Just before we take our first break, Mayor Scott, I just want to bring up just a clarification just to make sure residents aren't confused out there. But when we're talking about buyouts for ptarmigan, this is voluntary. It's not mandatory. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's not an expropriation. There's no member of council, I believe, that would ever support an expropriation. So if somebody chooses to stay there, then this municipality, our council, is not going to compel anyone to sell. We hope that people will, you know, make a decision that makes sense for them. There's some that are not going to be in a position to obviously be bought out because of their financial circumstances and what they owe to the bank. Because if somebody sells or is bought out, then they would need to remove the encumbrances against the title to their property. One thing I just want to mention is how thankful I am to all the residents in this region and to my council colleagues. There were some really difficult decisions last night, even though we didn't all agree on every decision, and there were, every decision was certainly not unanimous. I'm pleased we could move things forward because I think the residents of our region deserve decisions. Even though we are not making everybody happy, we're making the best decisions we can. And one thing I can say about this council is they are very committed to the residents of this region. We know that everyone's not pleased with the result, but we're doing the best we can with all the information we get.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and we're talking about flood mitigation as council got an update yesterday. yesterday on the 6 flood-prone areas and approved next steps for Ptarmigan, Draper, and Waterways. And the last two neighborhoods there are what we're going to be talking about now. And we'll start with Draper, which was probably the most vocal we got at the meeting yesterday, as we heard from a few residents about what they were hoping to see happen in the neighborhood. And ultimately, you guys approved looking into a grant program for a lot-by-lot solution. Maybe just for the residents out there who are a little bit confused, what are you guys hoping to use this grant program for?
Yeah, let me just give everyone some background first. So that is the one area besides Ptarmigan where we could not do flood protection in a reasonable and cost-effective sense. So the cost of flood mitigation for Draper was going to be $118 million approximately to protect the 98 properties in that area. So that wasn't seen as a realistic option, obviously, going forward. So what the one-on-one solution intends is that administration is going to be talking, because they're, what we've discovered as we've gone through this process is every property varies. They vary in height, they vary in circumstances. So a one-on-one, case-by-case basis makes the most sense. We, you know, some properties might be protected by having a barrier around them. Some properties might be protected by raising them. So it's really a matter of one-on-one discussions to see what makes sense for each individual property. And we've had some feedback from certain residents, and other residents didn't give us feedback. So we sense that some residents don't want to engage with the municipality. Others were, you know, quite keen to engage. There was a discussion last night on whether there should be a buyout for Draper. That, you know, there, that was raised by certain residents. But as I said previously, the cost of buyouts for Draper would be approximately $40 million. So once again, I think there was no appetite by this council to do that. And if there's any organization that should be considering buyouts, it should be the province, which has historically, as I said previously, always led buyouts in this province. You know, we, this council made an exception for Ptarmigan just because of the unique circumstances, but I think Draper residents who are keen to see a buyout, they can lobby the province, they can lobby the MLAs, and that's historically how this has happened. So there's no ideal solution. That's a very complex area, and that's why a one-on-one, case-by-case basis makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can clear up a little bit of confusion that it looked like there was some at yesterday's meeting when it came to some flood mitigation in waterways and how that might actually impact people in Draper and having them actually have to leave their neighborhood. Is there any truth behind that?
Yeah, the engineers, we asked that because that's come up multiple times. The engineers have indicated that there is no impact by the flood mitigation that's going to be done in other areas. It will not impact Draper. And it's just the nature of the water and the flow of the water. Essentially, one of the engineers that spoke at the meeting had training. He didn't say he was a hydrologist, but he certainly said that he had experience with that exact issue and that they had looked at that. And our own engineers from the city have said the exact same thing. So protecting one area will not negatively impact another area.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move over to waterways. And you guys decided to just continue the plan moving forward, that being flood mitigation work. You guys are spending, I believe it's $44 million in the neighborhood, $24 million to finish work on the berm, $20 million on the Saline Creek egress road. Maybe just talk about maybe administration, why they recommended just moving forward to just straight up flood mitigation.
Yeah, and this is something the council signaled previously, that flood protection was the thing that made the most sense for this region. And we recognize that this is a historical region and something very important. When we talked to residents and when we had feedback, we had a variety of feedback. Some residents wanted to stay, some wanted to be bought out. Others had different ideas about other potential solutions. But we believe that this area can be flood protected, and you just described some of the components of flood protection. So the one change that's going to happen from the past is that this council is committed to getting it done. There was a discussion last night about the number of floods that have happened in this region, and you know, it's time that a council addresses these issues. You know, some councils build large buildings, some councils build roads. This is the council that's going to protect this region, and this has been going on for 185 years. We've been having floods in this region, one after the other, and several years it's been 1 year and then the next year. And I believe Councillor Maher, who's been a councillor for a considerable period, mentioned that after a while people forget. This is the council that has invested in flood protection, $150 million, $44 million in 2021 is planned to be invested. So we are taking the step of actually protecting these communities like waterways to make sure that this, this has got to come to an end. I cannot have another mayor and council in the future dealing with the same issue. After 185 years, you've got a mayor and council who's going to protect this region.
Land swaps. I know that was kind of discussed yesterday, and we did hear from, and it was shown in some of the public engagement that you guys did, that some residents in Draper and in waterways would like to potentially have a land swap. Is that still on the table? I know you guys are still in discussions with the province to acquire land in Parsons and Saline. So if that happens, are land swaps a possibility still?
You know, the big challenge with land swaps is getting the land from the province. So I think the province is aware of when the flood occurred. They give us $100 million to help residents out in this region. But when you try to get something out of the province, it's not a quick process. And if they were interested in helping us, it should have happened long before now, quite frankly. So, you know, we've wanted to move forward and give residents certainty. And that's why we made the decisions we did last night. We have no commitment from the government of Alberta that they are going to give us this land, that we could do land swaps. If we get the land, then we can reassess. But at this point, you know, the residents were crying for certainty moving forward, and they demand certainty for good reason. It's been a long time since the flood. They need to move forward with their lives. And the province hasn't given us the land. You know, I'm complaining about the province a lot. And this is just another issue that the province hasn't dealt with. They have an obligation to give this community land for reasons that were explained in the meeting last night. If anybody wants to watch the meeting, please log in and see it. It's at rmwb.ca. You can see the entire meeting or parts of it that would interest you. And you'll see all these topics discussed. The province has owed us land for a considerable period, and they have failed to transfer that land to us. And, you know, the process is still taking time. So until that gets resolved, I don't think land swaps are a realistic option for this region.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and we're talking about flood mitigation for three of the six flood-prone areas, that being Ptarmigan, Draper, and Waterways. If you're looking for more information about that, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, council also approved a $1 million sewer backwater prevention program at the meeting yesterday. And this program will provide subsidies for those in mainly in the flood-prone areas to put in new backwater valves. And some people might be confused as to why are these valves important, but is it safe to say that most of these properties in the downtown specifically had these valves during April's flood, there might have been less damage?
Absolutely, and that's the whole point of it. There's other communities all across Canada that have had this kind of a program and a subsidy for this program, and what it essentially does is it protects your property from the flow of water coming up through your system. So this is a great idea. It's been done. It's done in Edmonton, and it's been a long time coming for this region. And it's curious as to why Edmonton has this program, but we have never had it. So one thing that council agreed with last night is that we are going to have this program. It's going to be, I believe, something very positive for the region. It's going to protect residents. It's something that we're encouraging people to do. We are going to have a subsidy up to $3,000 if you live in a flood-prone area, and it's going to be $1,500 if you live in the rest of the region. So this is open to everybody in the entire region, not just those who live in the flood-prone areas, because we think it's a good idea. It's going to protect properties. It's especially good for older properties. Since the year 2000, new builds require it. And the rollout date for this is going to be March 1st. That's the target date. Sometimes there's challenges, but I believe after the discussion last night, administration is aggressively moving forward. And it's certainly a priority in 2021 to get this program underway and get people protected.
Mm-hmm. Now, like you mentioned, for the 6 flood-prone areas, the subsidy will be up to $3,000. The only concern that some councillors brought up yesterday were that if we raise the subsidy, that some contractors or plumbers might raise their costs. Do you have any concerns with that?
You know, that argument was made last night, and I don't accept that. What I said is, and what we had evidence of, is that the jurisdiction with the highest take-up rate on these valves had this same subsidy, and that was Saskatoon. So what I really wanted to encourage is the residents of our region to have this same take-up. I believe it was over 50%, and they were the only jurisdiction that did that. So if this is a subsidy that's going to be required to get 50% of our residents, or over 50%, to protect their properties, then I believe we should put our residents in that position. I think the other issue from my perspective is a lot of these residents just went through a flood. They're not in a financial position to be, you know, putting a lot of money towards these kind of things unless there is this kind of a subsidy program. So I was completely, and I proposed the $3,000, and I believe it's completely necessary.
Well, Mayor Scott, that's all the time we have for today's show. This is going to be the last time we chat until the new year. So thanks again for coming on the show. And hopefully we'll have some better topics, or at least some more positive topics in 2021.
Yes, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to everybody. And please have a great holiday and stay safe, everybody.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.